Daf Yudalid Amud Aleph, the fifth wide line towards the end of the line. We're going to start again. We kind of rushed through this at the end of the last year. I want to start again. Amar Rav, you see at the end of the line? Amar Rav? Okay? Not yet. The end of the fifth wide line. Okay? Omar Rav. Rav said, Kol ha'noisim sholom l'chaveroi koidem she'yispala. A person who greets somebody else with sholom before davening, ki'ilu asoi bama. It's as if you turned him into an altar, meaning it's as though you're worshipping that fellow instead of Hashem. That's a very strong statement. We'll see. So, Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, yes? It says in the Pasuk, Chidlu lachem min ha'odom asher nishama be'afoy. Stop already with these people that have breath in their nostrils. Ki bamenech shavu. Because, what is he? Meaning, don't attribute so much importance to a mortal. Look how vulnerable he is. He needs to breathe. Don't attribute so much importance to someone who needs to breathe. What is he? In other words, the point is you should put your trust or channel your worship to Hashem. Now, al tikrei bameh. Do not read bameh as in what is he, but rather elo bama. Change the punctuation and read bama. Stop with these chidlu lachem in ha'odom asher neshama ba'afoy. Stop being so busy with these people who've got breath in their nostrils. Ki bama nechshavu, because he's like an altar, meaning it's like avodah zarah. So we're construing this as referring to greeting a person with the word shalom before davening. Now, Shmuel Amar? Shmuel says, you don't have to change the reading in order to get that message out of the pasuk. You can go with the normal meaning of normal reading of the pasuk. It says, "Ki bameh nechshavu." What is he worth? Bameh chashav delezeh. In other words, what the pasuk is saying is, why are you deeming him important, veloy leleka, and not Hashem? So, whatever it is we're seeing here, that it's considered a sacrilege. In fact, the Gemara is terming it as a severe sacrilege to greet somebody before davening. Now, I'm sorry? So it would seem that according to this, what's that? Well, the truth is that all the Gemara said was, you tell somebody shalom, which does imply, simply understood, that you should ignore somebody. We'll have to see. You said something? What's that? You're right. Okay. So let's let the Gemara work this out. Right now, where we stand now, you wake up in the morning, you look the other way, don't make eye contact with your wife. And when you step out into the street, keep your head down and barrel forward. But let's see. Let the Gemara work this out. Because the truth is that if you think about this for a minute, it conflicts with our Mishnah. What did we learn in our Mishnah? We spent an awful lot of time discussing, if you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, when can you greet a person? When can't you greet a person? Now, in my Siddur, Kriya Shema is before Shemoneh Esrei. So the Mishnah is talking all about greeting people before Shemoneh Esrei. How does that work? So, Neisiv Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes challenges this whole business. How can you say that you cannot greet somebody before davening? Our Mishnah said, Bikrokim, if you are in between the chapters, Bepratim, if you're in between the chapters, Shoyo Mitnei HaKavod Umeishiv, you can greet somebody you respect, and you can respond to anybody. So what's this about not saying Shalom before davening? Davening meaning Shemana Esrei. So the Gemara puts this into perspective. Tir Gemara Rabbi Abba B'mashkim L'Pisvay. So Rabbi Abba says, you're right, we have to qualify the statement that you cannot greet someone before davening. It means you can't go special to somebody's house to greet him before davening. That's showing a little too much respect to somebody, putting him before Hashem. But if you pass somebody in the street, or if you're with somebody in the same bedroom, right, your question, yes, you can greet them. So that really puts the whole thing into a different light. Okay. So, first of all, I want to just elaborate on this Gemara a little, because there's an awful lot that the Gemara is conveying here, and then we'll put it into a halachic perspective. So first of all, really, this Gemara is continuing an idea that we've seen already a few times earlier in the Masechta, that when you wake up in the morning, that is a very sacred time. Waking up in the morning is a sacred time. The way we saw the Maharal puts it, this earlier in the Masechta, the way you're supposed to feel when we wake up in the morning is, I was just created by Hashem. That's why, for example, you wash the Tilas Yadayim in the morning. What's the idea of washing the Tilas Yadayim in the morning? So the Rashba says, wash the Tilas Yadayim because you were just created. You're entering the world now. When you're stepping out of bed, what are you doing? You're stepping down into this world. You're a new being. What is the significance of stepping into this world? What are you stepping into this world for? The answer is, the world, the Olam Hazeh that you are now stepping into anew, is your Beis HaMikdash. You're stepping out of bed to enter the realm of Hashem's service. That's what the carpet on the floor is. And therefore, this is the Rashba says, this is the significance of the Netilas Yadayim that we wash every morning. The Rashba says, that the din is that before a kohen begins his service in the Beis HaMikdash, he must wash, right? And therefore, before stepping out of bed, you're stepping into the realm of Hashem's service, you have to wash just like a kohen. So we meant to put your whole beginning of your day into perspective. Now, therefore, you begin the day, you have to begin the day with the right perspective. You begin the day, you were just created, and you are now taking instructions from Hashem before you set out. Like, you don't say, oh, I'm created? Well, it's great to be here in this world. Let me go have a good time. That's why we learned earlier that you don't eat before davening. You don't eat before davening because, one minute, person's created off the cuff. Notice that you were created. Say thank you for creating me. Right? Don't just say, hey, I'm here. Where's the food? That's the idea of not eating before davening. You woke up and you were just created. Acknowledge when you're drawing away from Hashem, ready to step into the activity of this world, acknowledge that you were just created and connect to Hashem. That's what all these halachas are about. So therefore, a very important part of this is you have to have the right focus. You don't first say, again, you have to have your priorities straight. My priorities are, well, first thing is good morning to the boss. After that, good morning to Hashem. Chas v'shalom. First thing is, good morning to the boss. That's Hashem. Right? So therefore, the first one you greet in the morning is Hashem. Greeting somebody else beforehand is showing you have your priorities messed up. You were just created anew, and you've already got other businesses. Don't turn your back on Hashem until you have properly acknowledged and related to Him. Then, head out into the world. But before stepping out into that world, you step out into the world off your connection with Hashem. Now, the way Rav expresses this is that you can't say Shalom. So, in Halacha, the way this comes out is that there are two levels. You can't say Shalom, specifically. Shalom, right? To just tell somebody good morning might be a different story. We'll see. We're going to work it out. But there's a special stress on us saying shalom. Why? Because this is even more than we've just been discussing. Shalom is what? Shalom is the name of Hashem. Why is shalom the name of Hashem? We translate shalom as peace. Well, what does peace really mean in the broader, in the deeper sense of the word? Peace doesn't just mean that me and my neighbor get along. Peace in the broader sense of the word means peace is when everything is running right. A more accurate translation for the true connotation of shalom is harmony. Harmony is basically peace. It's when you have all kinds of different things working together, but the interaction is perfect. Everything is running perfectly, exactly as it's meant to be. So shalom really means harmony. Okay? Now, when everything is harmonious, everything is running right. Peace means that the weather is perfect. Of course, peace, in the most basic sense, means that you're not at war, you're not at war with the neighboring country, you're not at war with the neighboring resident, you're not at war with your wife. All that's included in the concept of peace. But when we're talking about peace as in harmony, it means, yes, you're getting along with everybody, and the weather is cooperating with that perfect scenario, the weather is perfect, and parnasa is perfect, and health is perfect. Shalom includes all that. Shalom means that everything is perfect. That's what shalom means. And therefore, shalom is the name of Hashem, because what does this harmony come from? We basically spell this out in Sim Shalom. Baruchenu Avinu, when we ask for peace, the way we express it is, Baruchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad Bar Panecha. Bless us with your shining countenance. It really means anytime there's a problem, it's because Hashem is not fully shining Himself on that situation. Any problem that you have is because Hashem is withdrawing from that area. That's what all the problems of our world come from. So therefore we ask Hashem, no, don't withdraw yourself from anywhere. Expose all of us just to your shining countenance. That's how we express it in Sim Shalom. The more Hashem turns His face to us, the more perfect everything is. If things are half perfect, that means that Hashem is halfway shining His countenance on you. So therefore, really, by saying shalom, what you're actually saying is, when you tell somebody shalom, you have to appreciate this, because when we appreciate this, we'll replace the word hello with shalom. When you tell somebody shalom, there's an awful lot of significance to that. What you're saying is, may Hashem shine His countenance upon you. May Hashem put His full focus on you, which means that everything will be perfect. And that's why it's very chashuv to say shalom aleichem. It's not just the Hebrew way or the phone way of saying hello. Or, for example, that's something that the Sfaradim have over us. We say good Shabbos. The Sfaradim say Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. There's a lot of significance to that. Shabbat Shalom is not a modern day thing. It's something that goes way back. It was something that in earlier times in the Kubbalim were very makbid dafka to say that. It's already cited by the Talmidim of the Arizal. So I heard it. Chassidus Rebbe in New York, where I lived, used to say Shabbat Shalom. It's not necessarily a Sephardi thing. The Sephardim are makbid on it to their advantage. But Shabbos is a bracha, but it's something of a waste. Now, I don't mean, don't go start sounding weird. Not good to stand out in a way that it might look like you're showing off. But in this way, we will say that, well, grant the Sephardim, they've got an advantage over us in this. Now, what's this got to do with our subject? Therefore, it's all the more sacrilegious to come before you've even addressed Hashem, before you've even acknowledged Hashem, and you're saying to the other guy, Shalom Aleichem. This, in a sense, the Gemara says is like Avodah Zarah. Why? You know what one of the key differences between Avodah Zarah and worship of Hashem is? It's not just that they worship that and we worship Him. The whole essence of the approach to worship is different. Avodah Zarah, idolatry, is a means of getting what you want through your worship of the idol. Really, that's what idolatry is about. It's all about manipulating the higher forces in order to get them to do what you want. We've discussed that in the Kuzari Shir. So, that's when a person approaches Judaism, it's with the approach of, it's my privilege to be serving Hashem for that own sake. Not because Hashem is a means of me getting parnasa, of me getting what I want. I serve Hashem because I consider myself a subject of Hashem. Begins and ends with that. Now therefore, if before you even acknowledge Hashem, you're going and saying, oh, may Hashem be upon you. What is Hashem for you? A means of material success. Right? The more important thing than actually just acknowledging Hashem and serving Hashem is, oh, let Hashem cooperate with, you know, material things. Let Him give you peace, let Him give me peace. And therefore, no, don't go invoking Hashem's name before you have just invoked Hashem's name for His own sake. After you've done that, then you step into this world, you step into the activities of this world, it becomes legitimate. But if before you've even acknowledged Hashem, the first thing you do with Hashem is, oh, you should have a pleasant day, the other guy, that is, in a subtle way, bordering on the concept of idolatry. That's what the Gemara is telling us. Our statement. So therefore, the word shalom is especially problematic. You going to say something? Saying the word shalom is especially problematic, and therefore, you can't say shalom to somebody. Now, I'm sorry?
I thought that this morning I would disadvantage because I was just saying Kishra, but no. When I'm going to shul on Shabbat morning,
the truth is that on your way to shul in the morning, it is better to avoid saying Shabbat Shalom. But let me put even that into perspective. What's that? Okay. So now let's put this into halachic perspective. Basically, simply understood, our Gemara is saying that as long as you're not going out of your way to the guy, it's okay to say Shalom. But yet, the Rishonim qualify that somewhat. There are really three levels. In our Gemara, it seems that there are two levels, right? If you're going out of your way, don't say Shalom. If you're not going out of your way, you can say Shalom. But it's actually, the way the place can set it up, there are really three levels. It's like this. Here's how Rabbi Yehuda puts it down. He says, to actually go to somebody's house for the purpose of greeting him before Shacharis is usur, whether you're saying Shalom or not. To go knock on his door and go like this and then go to shul without saying anything is awesome. You're not allowed to make a point of going to greet someone before Shacharis in any way. I'm sorry? Oh, if it's a technicality, we'll see. But if you're just going there to give him that kavod, that's usher in any case. For example, where might this be relevant? Someone just came in, okay? A relative just came in from the States. You haven't seen them in a while. You know that they're in town. You want to, before going to shul, go knock on their door and tell them hello. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make a special point of going to someone's house to greet them before Shabbos. I'm stressing, to greet them. I'm sorry? Okay. That is not included in what I just said. How that will work, we'll see soon. But what I'm saying is, this isser means if you're going for the sole purpose of greeting him. That's all. When it's already a technical need, we'll get to that. That's the next category. Okay. So that's category number one. You're going just to give a person that acknowledgement, that's usur. Even if you don't say anything. What's that? He comes to you, you didn't go greet him. That's like meeting a person in the street, which we'll get to. The next level is where no, you are going somewhere for some other reason. Like let's say, you have to go pick something up while you're on your way anyways. You're not making this trip for that person. But while you're on your way, you're going to stop in to see it. Okay? In such a case, you're allowed to greet the person. Now, let's say you're taking the kids to school. And I have this a lot of times. I usually try to be after Shabbos when I take the kids to school. My parents Right now they're in Chutz La'aretz. They live on Luz, right around the corner from the girls' school. Okay? It's a very common occurrence. When you take the kids to school, stop in to tell my parents hello. So that's mutter, because I'm not going special to greet them. That's not the purpose of my trip. But in this situation, you're allowed to stop in, but you can't say shalom. You can say hi, you can say good morning, you can say have a great day, but not shalom. Okay, this is already the next level. Where you are stopping in to see them, but that's not the purpose of the trip. I would guess that these situations that you described, going to pick someone up, going to the airport to pick someone up, is in this second category. But to say, to greet the person, yes, to say shalom, shalom aleichem, shabbat shalom, that not. Okay? Then, there's the next level. You're not making a point of stopping in to see them at all. You're passing them in the street. You bump into them, that's all. You didn't make one step out of your way. Then, we have the essential ruling in the Gemara that you're allowed to say shalom. Then you're allowed to say shalom. So let's just, again, I have those three categories clear because these are things that are very lamaisa and people mess up with these things. Yes, essentially. And I'll qualify that soon. But, yes, again, three levels. To make a point, a special trip to go greet someone is usur, whatever the case is. If you're going somewhere anyways and you're stopping in to see the person, that's okay, but not shalom. If you just bump into the person, you can even say shalom. Because that's not, there's a second, that's already not in the category of a form of worship. Form of worship is when your mom is going to show the person special kavod, or even minor kavod, but you're using the word shalom. When you just bump into the person in the street, that would be okay. Very good, very good. That is also awesome.
That's the first.
Yeah, to make a point of stopka going over to a different person to greet him before davening, chakras, okay, should not be done. No, that's fine. You bump into someone, go to shul, you bump into someone, you're in the street, you bump into someone. As long as you didn't go out of your way to greet them, you can say shalom. What? Yeah? To say shalom aleichem? That's true. I'm going to get to that. But right now I'm talking about the essential halacha, which we're going to still qualify. Stan is saying, but isn't that also disrespectful to stop in, sit down with your parents before davening? Isn't that also disrespectful? So let's see. We're going to still qualify this a little further. This is all very lemaisa. We'll qualify this a little further. But first, it's important to have those three categories, because these are the three basic categories at Smamish essential halacha. Yeah, Shemana Esrei is the key factor here. Now, okay. So, you know, let me just answer your question already, even though we're going to get to it more specifically. But the answer is that when we say you're stopping into somebody, any activity that you do before davening has to be brief. So when we brief, for this reason, stopping into somebody does not mean to sit down and have a schmooze. Stopping in means knock on the door, hi, good morning, and then keep moving. Any activity, we're going to see soon, any activity before davening, you can't really get involved in something before davening. You have to take care of something, take care of it, and move on. And therefore, now we come to a couple of qualifications. You're going to say something?
Yeah, better question. I'm taking New York and New Jersey right now. If you have a priest in New Jersey, and you're in New York, are you better off davening at a local minion first, earlier, and then driving to New Jersey? to go to the bris?
Absolutely.
Rather than davening by the bris?
Yes, absolutely. You have to go to a bris in a faraway place. Better to daven at home and then to go. Yechidus, not necessarily. Yechidus, not necessarily. No, I meant at home in your home state. That's what I meant. Home territory. Yeah. Better to daven before the trip than to daven with the bris. Okay. What's that? Why is that? Because the trip also is considered an activity that should be avoided before Shabbat. Not really. You're going to the bris. The whole concept of not making a trip before davening, you could argue that in any case. The person has a business meeting in Connecticut. They'd rather set out early, make a minyan in Connecticut. We say not to do that. Why, he's going to daven? No, if the main purpose of your trip is going to daven, let's say you're just in love with the shtiebel in Connecticut, and you love davening there, sure, make the 2-hour trip to Connecticut and daven there. But if you're going for a business trip and you're going to daven there, you should do the davening before then. What's that?
Before
Alei Sashachar. But we'll actually see that coming. That's really more relevant to a piece of Gemara that will be coming up. But let's see. Okay. Now, as we just mentioned, and you actually hit on something big. Stan said, 1 minute, this second category, we said, you can go to someone's house to greet them, as long as you don't say shalom. Right? So, Stan asked, isn't that also disrespectful? Am I see you going to Farbrain? Are you going to sit down and schmooze and this before davening? So, therefore, as we said, no, it really means going for a brief time. So therefore, the Ravid introduces another point, which is also ruled upon by Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, the Ravid says, any time you're greeting somebody, even in permitted circumstances, you should do it in some unusual form. Meaning, even though we said that really it's mutter on the way to shul, you bump into somebody to say shalom, the Ravid says don't. Even though essentially you're allowed to, but you should say it a little differently just for your own purposes to keep conscious of the fact that I'm before davening and therefore I'm in a rush. And therefore, for example, in the time of the Gemara, when it was standard practice to say shalom when you met somebody, which is actually a mitzvah, right? They would deviate and they would say good morning. Good morning wasn't the standard expression, but that's the expression that the Gemara uses for these sorts of things. They would say good morning instead. So as, even when it's mutter to say shalom, they would say good morning instead, just in order to keep conscious of the fact that I'm davening, I'm before davening now, and therefore I'm not yet on regular track. And therefore, yes, any form of greeting, and certainly if you're stopping in to say to somebody hello, has to be with that consciousness of, I can't really schmooze as normal now, I'm in a rush, I'm on my way, hi. Right? If you would normally say good morning, keep it to a brief hi. Or something like that. Keep it a little different. Before davening, you're not yet on regular track. So if we'll let the dust settle after that, just a second, it comes out is, to go make a special trip of greeting somebody before davening is absolutely awesome. When you're on your way to do something else and you stop in to see somebody, you can do that briefly without saying shalom. If you just bump into somebody, essentially you could say shalom, but yet you should not do so nevertheless in order to keep conscious of the fact I am yet before davening. Okay. That's how this comes out with Maisa. Someone was... Not shalom. Not shalom. You say hi, keep it brief, don't get into a long shmooze before davening. Okay. Oh, so what about learning before davening? So this is a subject that's much discussed by the poskim. Rashi says don't even learn before davening. But this is, yeah, but this is basically rejected by the poskim. And what comes out of halacha l'maaseh is the poskim say no. Learning is definitely acceptable before davening because on the contrary, you're beginning your day with worship. And actually, learning could be a good way of getting yourself in the right state to daven. You do some learning before davening, then you head for the davening, that in a way even enhances the davening. So no. That's right. No schmoozing. To sit down with a bunch of guys before you come to shul, half hour early, and a few guys are sitting down for some coffee, that's something to be avoided. To sit down and schmooze before davening, that not.
But also when you're learning, you're not supposed to do something that's going to get the two people involved because you don't want to miss much.
That's if you're learning at home and you're going to be davening at home. But there's a set time for the minyan in the shul where it's inevitable that you're going to end up going, it's okay. But you're right, if you're learning at home and davening at home, you shouldn't really get into an involved sort of learning before davening, for that reason. That's right. This would be relevant for a person who's going to be davening at home and he's sitting down to learn before davening. It should not be an involved study. Okay. Now, I'll just add one interesting perspective that the Ben Ish Chai says. He goes back to this pasuk that when it talks about the sacrilege of you shouldn't greet somebody before davening, right? It says, "Oh, stop with these people." The pasuk says, "Chidlu lochem in ha'odom Hashem neshama ba'apoy." Right? Stop being so busy with these people who have a breath in their nostrils. Right? So the Ben Ish Chai says this is really all part of the stress here. What's the point? The point is you were just created. Now's the time to connect with Hashem. Right? You start your day by connecting with Hashem, not by rushing to kiss up to other people. The Ben Ish Chai says the pasuk is stressing that. He says, you're rushing to kiss up to the boss before davening? He just got his neshama back too. We're stressing. He's got a breath in his nostrils. This guy is just created out of the earth. This guy just got breath in his nostrils. What's so important about it? He was created just a second ago like you are. What are you rushing to greet him? It's again that perspective that you're created anew, the whole Bria is new. You're new. He's new. Therefore, again, the first thing to do is you wake up in the morning, acknowledge. You were just created. Note the one who just created you. You start your day by connecting to him. You get your perspective right, and that's how you start the day. The day is to start with setting the tone for the day. And the whole day continues in that perspective. This mamish all comes together beautifully with the Rashba we quoted before. Stepping out of bed is stepping into the realm of Hashem's service. And that's why you wash your hands. First thing, you step out of bed. Just like a kohen washes his hands before entering the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're saying here. Start your day in the Beis HaMikdash. You start your day in the Beis HaMikdash, you can continue your day in the Beis HaMikdash too. Okay, let's move on. Really revolving around the same point. We've already touched on a few of the things that are coming up. Let's see. We're skipping the parentheses, okay? Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashia. Osu loy lo odom la asoy chafotzov koydem sheyispala. A person is not allowed to tend to his affairs before davening. This is also, we touched on this already in our discussion. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, tzedek lefanav yahalech, the first thing you set ahead of you is righteousness. Right? You start the day right, like we said. You connect with Hashem and you start the day bound with Hashem. Don't start your day with the business. And then afterwards say, oh yeah, Hashem's also in the picture. V'yosem l'derech pa'amav. Then you set your footsteps on the road. So this also, this is very serious. La'alacha. You're not allowed to get involved in some heavy activity before davening. To take care of things briefly, to take the garbage out on your way out, or to do things briefly, getting the kids ready for school even. The place can actually say that that's a form of chesed that is actually recommended before davening. But brief, quick activities before davening, fine. Anything involved before davening should not be done. All for the same reason. You're supposed to carry the day, go through the day bound to Hashem, and therefore you start the day by bonding with Hashem. No. Well, this is from Aleisa Shaka. Before Aleisa Shaka, you're still yesterday's you. You become the new you at Aleisa Shaka. Or for those of us who wake up later, when we wake up. Okay. Now, similarly, here, Benny, this is what you just mentioned. Omar of Idi Bar Ovin, Omar of Yitzchok Bar Ashiyan, Kolam Yisbalel V'achakach Yoytze L'derek. The person has a trip ahead of him. He davens and then heads out on his trip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oysa L'chafotzo. He has Hashem on his team. And Hashem will grant him success. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, once again, the same Pasuk indicates this. Tzedek L'fonav Yahalich. He sets up his righteousness ahead of him first. V'yosem L'derech Ta'amov. And then he sets his feet on the road. All the same idea. So again, also trips. Trips should be postponed for after davening. Now here also, we touched on this in the first parak, and then Reb George has, what happens if you have a flight you have to make too early in the morning. So yes, if there's no other way of making the trip, if it's either before davening or never, you can do it. But when it's an issue of, I'd like to set out earlier than later, Amanish, the case that you gave is a classic case. I'd rather head out and then I'll daven when I get there. That not. Okay. That's halacha. That's ruled upon in Shulchan Aruch.
So are you better off davening at home by yourself?
By yourself. If the only alternative is to daven by yourself, I don't think so. Meaning, if the only alternative to daven yourself is to post the davening with the minion later, I don't think so.
Let's take a bridge, if you're worried that if you daven in shul, you'll have more traffic and not make the bridge.
Okay, so again, that will be in the same category as the flight we discussed. If by davening first you're not going to be able to make what you need to make, then you're allowed to. That's okay. Like, if having to daven before a trip means that you will never be able to make a quarter to nine appointment for a business trip, then it's okay. What we mean is, when it's just an issue of, I'd like to head out already, a little earlier as opposed to a little later, daven first. But if the only way to make this trip is by making the trip before davening, then you're allowed to. That applies for a flight, that applies for, yeah, if the only way to make the bris is by traveling first, that's okay.
Are there certain things that you should daven at home quickly before you leave them?
Don't know. It's a little bit too vague of a question. Tell me which thing. What's that?
Abba Gobal Shama.
Right, that's a good idea. I'll mention in general that even in these situations where we're saying that it's okay to make the trip first or to do activities first, one should say some brachas at home, meaning start the davening process before you head out. That's important to stress. That's something else, because again, you're traveling in order to daven. That's not called traveling before davening. That's called, I'm asking a different question. What if you have to get into a car and drive for 5 minutes in order to get to shul? Maybe you shouldn't make the trip, daven first. No, if you're going to daven, go to daven.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
If you're going to the hotel to daven first, then
go ahead with full blessings. Yeah. What's that? Oh, so it depends. If the issue is, because you want to get there a little early, if the issue is that you might miss, that goes back to what we said before. But if the issue is that you don't want to be stuck in traffic, that's exactly an example of what the Gemara is talking about by saying, better to have Hashem on your team and risk the traffic, head out earlier, who knows. Before davening is a little bit precarious. Okay. Yeah.
You could come out that if you see someone before davening on Shabbos, if he hasn't davened, you don't know who he is. He could be smarting. He shouldn't say anything. Why? Because if you say good Shabbos, he may, people just say things that
you don't have to take it so far.
Might, no, but he might say
Shabbat Shalom. You don't have to take it so far. When you bump into somebody, we'll remember. It's important to stress this. When you bump into somebody, essentially it is permitted to say Shalom. We have a minig not to, in order to keep yourself conscious of the fact that you haven't yet davened. when you're just bumping into somebody, you haven't gone out of your way at all, essentially it's permitted to say shalom. And therefore, you don't have to take measures or do weird things to avoid it. Better not to. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on. Omar Abiyayna, new subject. Omar Abiyayna, Omar Abiyzeira. Kal halon shivas yomim beloy chaloy. If a person goes for a week with no dreams, nikra ra. That's bad. Shenema. Like it says, because it says in the pasuk. Now, really, this pasuk says v'sovea yolin ba'yipaked ra. Simply understood, this pasuk is actually a blessing. It's saying, it's a pasuk from Mishlei. It says he will sleep satisfied, and he will not be informed of evil. Just the opposite. But we're going to change the reading a little. Al tikrei soveya, don't read soveya, elo sheva, read sheva. Sheva yolin bal yipoked ra. If for seven a person sleeps without being informed of things, i.e. through a dream is classically considered a message from up high. Ra, that's bad. That's a reading of the pasuk. Sheva yolin bal yipoked. If a person sleeps for 7 days without being informed of anything, ra, that's bad. It's a bad sign. Because dreams, now we'll put this soon into perspective. Dreams are really a divine means of telling you what to expect. What's that? No, dream. It might be. Let's wait. Dreams is a means through which Hashem tells people what to expect. Okay? And therefore, if for a week you didn't have any dreams, it's basically, if we'll express it this way, Hashem isn't on talking terms with you. That's a scary thing. And that's why it's considered bad not to get a dream for 7 days. Now, people might be getting a little nervous. I haven't had a dream for a while. But, step back for a minute. All the dreams that you do have, we're harbingers of things to come. When you do have a dream, you say, you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, now I know what to expect, and then you see it materialize. So we have to start a step back. Well, if you didn't get dreams for a week, that means Hashem isn't informing you. When you do get dreams, Hashem is informing you from your experience, right? Your dreams are always an indication of things to come. So this was relevant in times when dreams were significant. What's that? This was relevant in times when dreams were significant. In the times of Chazal, we see that they attributed a lot of seriousness to dreams. And there's a lot of halachas about what you do if you have a bad dream. How do you protect yourself? How do you relate to a good dream? How do you construe ambiguous dreams? How do you make sure that ambiguous dream will turn out okay? The general approach today is we don't pay attention to any of this. What's the meaning of that? And therefore, this is all not relevant. I mean, this Gemara also, practically for us, is not relevant. Why? It's not just, you know, a way of kind of like a cop, not relevant. So Chazal took it very seriously. That means that dreams are a very serious thing. And yet, we are told many times today, just don't pay attention to dreams. So why is that? So I want to read an Aruch HaShulchan. He, I think, puts it into perspective, because I just recently found this Aruch HaShulchan when I was learning this Gemara. I always knew that the approach of the big authorities in general, there are exceptions to the rule, by the way, I'll note that, in general is to ignore dreams. So I always had this idea. I knew that, yeah, then it was different, now it's different. Why exactly? Not so clear. Aruch HaShulchan is beautiful. Imamish puts this into perspective beautifully. So I actually want to read it inside, because first of all, it's just fundamental to understand. It's something that people are confused about. How come it used to be so serious and today the Rabbanim just write it off? today. I mean, in the last few hundred years. Like, for example, already, I'm not talking about today as in 50 years ago. Already the Shulchan Aruch rules that the Gemara's time, if a person had a bad dream on Shabbos, he fasted on Shabbos. Not allowed to fast on Shabbos. If a person had a bad dream, he fasted. Because you're in danger. So Shulchan Aruch discusses these halachas and he cites the opinion of, I forgot who, the Raviyah, who says that today we don't really know how to construe dreams and therefore forget about it, nobody fasts on Shabbos today. So this is the perspective that the Aruch HaShulchan gives. So I want to actually read it inside because it's an important piece of information. When it comes to dreams, there's an awful lot said about it. We'll see soon. We're just touching on it here. The ninth perek, we have a lot of lengthy discussion about what type of dream, a whole set of halachas of dreams. V'yeshmei razal she'yatzu libli l'saper achaloi maral. So the truth is that we already see in Chazal's time a certain making light of dreams. Shmuel, for example, said, he kind of made, this is a funny perspective that he put it in. Shmuel, the Amira, when he had a good dream, there's a pasuk that says, "Achalim is shavi daber." Dreams speak falsely. So listen to Shmuel's take on this. If he had a bad dream, he would get up and he would cite that pasuk, "Achalim is shavi daber." Dreams speak falsely. When he would have a good dream, he would wake up and he would say, "You have to read the pasuk differently. Achalim is shavi daber." The dreams speak falsehood. Of course they speak. Okay. Well, what's going on? So he says, I'm skipping a little bit. Okay, yeah. Chazal, in one place, they advise, if you have a bad dream, just don't tell anybody about it. Don't have it interpreted. Right, there were people who were professional dream interpreters. So Chazal said, a dream only has power once it's actually interpreted. If you leave it uninterpreted, it's basically, it's like an undetonated bomb. A dormant bomb. So, vazein by mamish, as long as it's left uninterpreted, it's like an old bomb. Remember when we were up north, we drove by these areas that there were still mines back from the Six-Day War. So, you leave it untouched. The kachamu b'perek haraya, that's what they said later in the ninth perek of Brachas. Chelma d'lay mifshal ki agata d'lay mikri. A dream that wasn't interpreted is like a letter that wasn't read. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi explains, meaning, like toy v'loy ra, meaning it's not going to be good or bad. If you leave a dream uninterpreted, it won't be good or bad. Right? Somebody have a watcher. This is my timepiece is messed up. What's that? 30. Oh, okay, so I'll move through this quickly. Because dreams depend on their interpretation. Okay. Now, but here's the important part. Rav opposed the contradiction. See, on the one hand it says, I communicate through dreams, Hashem says. I communicate through their dreams. That's how I inform people of messages. Uksiv, another pasuk says, "V'chaloymes hashavi daberu." Dreams speak falsehood. Roikash, what's that? It's also a pasuk. Pasuk is Zechariah. All in the voice. Hashem said one, Hashem said the other. So Hashem said, I communicate through dreams, and Hashem says dreams are false. So Rava said, loikash, not a contradiction. You want to know how you can tell if it's true or false? This is how you tell. Kan al yidei malach, kan al yidei shev. Very clear cut. If it was conveyed to you by a malach, you know it's real. If it was conveyed to you by a shade, you know it's false. So now we all know how to tell what the nature of our dreams are, right? Now, koima. So now listen to how the Aruch HaShulchan explains this. Ha'isha shel hutahar, v'mak shevoysav batayra v'yira. Now, we already see in Chazal that a dream can only be construed as a divine message if it comes completely out of the blue from left field. But let's say you were thinking about something all day and then you dream about it That's natural. That doesn't mean anything. Or, they say, eating heavily before you go to sleep can, you know, make all kinds of chemical reactions, and that can also cause dreams. So therefore, things that were on your mind, or if it's because you were eating different things, can cause just funny dreams to come that just don't mean anything. So therefore, he says as follows. I think we ran out of time. I'm going to have to leave the oil in suspense. We'll continue next time. But this is very cautious, the perspective that he's going to give on this, and Imamish puts the whole thing into a beautiful light.